Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello to our listeners today on Tracy Tully Talks, and welcome to December, the festive season for us all. And I'm sure we're all looking forward to a lovely break, but I will be continuing right up and into Christmas. Christmas Eve will be broadcasting, and straight out of Christmas we'll be broadcasting again. So there'll be no stopping us here on bbsradio.com. I would love to introduce our guest today, and her name is Kim Koo. Selamat pagi, Kim.
Selamat pagi, Tracy. And to everyone out there in Australia, how's the day been?
It's been a very busy morning for me this morning. So I've been up since 5 a.m. But I'm sure that you've had a big day already today over there in Penang, Malaysia. So for our listeners, Kim Koo is a lawyer in Penang, Malaysia, and she specifically specialises in wills and inheritance. So we're going to hear lots and lots of information about that. And we've been talking while we're waiting today for the radio to come on, and I've got some really good questions that I'm sure everyone will be keen to find out, especially about if you are living in a foreign country and pass away, what happens then? So we'll come to that later. But right now, Kim, thank you for coming on board with us. With 25 years of experience in law, that places you as well and truly as an expert in the wills and inheritance field, doesn't it?
Well, thank you. I'm very privileged to be invited by you to be on your Tracy Tully Talk. And it is, in fact, something that I look forward to. It has been the highlight of my week in preparing for this, because not only is my profession, but it's also my passion to be in legacy planning. So just to introduce myself a little bit, Tracy. Well, my profession is started off as a barrister, and then I went on into the paper chase as a solicitor, and my current focal area of practice is in legacy planning, and the company that I have set up is Heritance Wills International. Well, let me just deviate into who I am on a personal front. I am a wife of, as I said to you, only one husband, and I have got not more than one. Right. Too much trouble, Casey.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Right. So I have two sons, and they are 22 and 14. The elder one is currently in Sydney, Australia, and yeah, just started on a job. Yeah, we were very thankful and grateful that he entered the job market whilst in a pandemic. Yeah, very, very thankful for that. So he's working very, very hard, and we are very proud of him. His name is Andrew. And my second son's name is Asher, and he is my part-time IT support while I'm working from home. Just like last night and this morning, he came in to check in on me and to ensure that everything on the IT front is already all hooked up and ready. Yes, because, you know, Tracy, you and I, we are not the Gen Z or the millennials. And I think the IT is something that we are not so comfortable with, and we have to develop, knowledge into. So very, 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 very thankful also that I have a son who is the Gen Z right here at home with me while I'm online with the world with you. And Well, I'm also going to say that I'm a daughter and I'm the only daughter here in Penang with my mom. And as we went on to talk the other day, I was so happy and so delighted to have found that you all were born in Penang, Malaysia, right where I am. Wow, that was like such a bonus, Casey, to find that you are from Penang too. And you were saying that you were here until you were 3 years old.
Correct, yes,
Yes, in the in your father was in the RAAF.
correct, yes, he
Yes,
was.
that would be, yes, that would be, just to describe for the listener, that would be in the mainland, which is the main part of Malaysia, whereas where I'm staying is in the island. And the island is well known as Paradise Penang, or also during the early British time, it was also known as the Pearl of the Orient. Isn't that exciting? Yes, I'm staying in a pearl. Yeah.
Was born in the Pearl of the Orient.
You were
I love
born in
it.
the pearl, so we are both pearls then.
I'll have to introduce myself as that every time I do a workshop or speech. I quite like that Pearl of the
Yes,
Orient.
so
I love pearls too, so it makes
precious pearls.
Pearls
Precious
beautiful.
pearls. Right, yeah. So a little bit on my passion. Since I'm a mother of two sons, you know, when they were growing up, one of my very passionate pursuits, and I find it therapeutic, is cooking. And that is actually looking after my mother, who has a big family in Penang, and we all enjoy her cooking. She was like the matriarch of the family, and I want to honor my mother today. She is a simple woman and yet so dedicated in her motherhood. And I would say that all that I am today is, in fact, due to the upbringing of my parents, which is largely my mom, who's a homemaker, a very good cook, and also, you know, a very good support role to my dad, yeah, who was a contractor. And, you know, talking about that, I will go on to also say that in the legacy planning and writing a will, it can be also done like my dad, who had very little education but was a self-made man. He wrote his last expression of wishes and intent to us. He wrote it all down in a two-page letter, leaving behind for our guidance how to deal with his estate. Now, but because he didn't go to see his solicitor to get the will done, it was not a valid will. There are some technicalities to make it a valid will, but he wrote it as an expression of intent, out of love and out of responsibility. You know, as a Chinese man in those days, my dad is long gone. Yeah, he is, I would like to say, in heaven, more than 15 years ago. And in fact, he passed away at quite an early age, at 55. And he left behind an expression of intent, and we use that as a guide as to how to deal with his estate. So that's just to give you a little bit into legacy planning, then to do with my personal, my family life. And it was able to guide us, yeah? I will touch on that in a formal sense later on, just to give your audience or our listeners here a better guide, because it is essential to plan our legacy. So just to wrap up on my personal interests, I, as I mentioned to you, Tracy, fell in love with this character, Kim Possible, which is a cartoon character. And Kim Possible had the sidekick named Ron. And I believe that the cartoon series ended when she married Ron. So it was a happily ever after. Well, I like to be known, and my friends very fondly call me Kim Possible. I like to believe that everything is possible, if you believe it and if you want it to come to pass and you desire or have a burning passion for it. Yeah. So, oh, just to mention, like today, it has been a goal and a dream. It was a dream first, and then it became a goal for me to speak on the radio. I think this was about maybe 3 over years ago. I heard this in church. There was a radio broadcaster that came, and she talked for a while, and she was based in Indonesia. And then I was just, as a Christian, telling God, it would be nice if I can be on radio too, because I have quite a number of things to share, both to the community and also to women in particular. Because as Kim Possible, my passion is to empower women, with life skills, empower women with disciplines of life, basic disciplines of life. And I think this could come at the end, Tracy, but I'll just say it now. I wish, Tracy, as a mother of two grown children, that if I had hurt myself or been coached or motivated or engaged by someone like me when I was in my 20s, I think I could have overcome many of my life challenges more smoothly and easily. But because I had to go through it without a mentor, without a coach, and also without someone like you to unlock my voice, Casey, as you mentioned in your website and what you are doing. Because I didn't have that in my 20s, the struggles that I had to go through, I had to go through on my own. Of course, with God, always praying to Him and asking Him to, help me out of my mess and challenges and whatnot. So, to the young women listener out there, I would just like to say, you can do it, because I did it. And that will be written in my book later on. So, I'll wait for your question on that, Casey. So, that's a little bit about who I am. And I'm married to, as I said, one man. And you know what? In the Bible, there's this chapter by King Solomon. King Solomon is King David's son. And as we all know, generally, Solomon denotes or depicts wisdom. And I think Solomon had about 1,000 girlfriends. Back then, it's known as concubines. And at the end of the chapter, he said, meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. So having had 1,000 and more, he felt it was still meaningless and too much trouble. So I will stick with one husband. I will not go gallivanting for more. By the way, Tracy, tomorrow is my 27th wedding anniversary.
32nd,
27. 27 years, yes.
27 years. Oh, happy anniversary for tomorrow.
Thank
And
you.
what stone is that? Is that for the 27 years
I'm not
anniversary?
too sure. I stopped counting after the 25th. But I do know that on the 30th, in 3 years' time, it will be the pearl.
The
That's right,
pearl.
the pearl, yes.
Right, the pearl for the 30th. Oh, well, I'm on 32, so yes, it's a bit of a long haul, isn't it? You wouldn't want too many others. Kim, when we have been speaking in the past, you talked to me about your journey to law and the number of children in your family and how you went to your father and you asked him if you could study abroad. Could you tell us all about that?
Well, I am in a family of six siblings. So my parents had my brother as the elder one and five girls after that. So being the second last girl, I'm the fifth in the family. I had to approach my father, who is the what you call the patriarch of the family, who's like the king. I call my brother the prince, and I had to ask him, I call him father. I said, Father, could I study law? Because that is, my ambition. When you are in school and the teacher asks you to write down in priority what you want to be. And when I was in what we call secondary school, which is Form 2, in around the age of 15, I wrote lawyer as the first profession of choice. Secondly, I was a little bit of a people pleaser, goody two shoes. And I said, my parents would be proud of me if I write down teacher. So I wrote down teacher as number two, and you are a headmistress for the last 38 years, So, I mean, the discipline and the good standing and all that in society, right?
Yes.
And I don't know what I wrote the third one. I can't remember, but I remember very distinctively the lawyer and the teacher was the first two. And you know how I came about wanting to be a lawyer? It is only because I love to look good. And I watched what was a very famous program for the American viewers here, LA Law.
Oh,
And I was
yes.
so, yeah, do you remember?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember that the ladies were also glamorous in their power suits?
Yes.
And and when they put down the boot of the car and it slammed down, and you had the LA Law there, and then the music came out, and then it was like so exciting. And then you see these power ladies go to court, and then they'll be like, arguing with their opponent, and then asking for the right of audience with the judge. That's how we say it. Right of audience is ask for the right to speak. And I say, wow, that sounds so interesting. I would love to be a lawyer. It's so glamorous. Love to wear one of those power suits. That's what got me. Yeah. On the other hand, I also had a liking for mental intellectual stimulation. I love reading. I love anecdotes. I love quotes. I love anything literary. And there was a British program for our British viewer that I was very delighted with. It was called Paper Chase, if I'm not wrong. There was this very dogmatic, very traditional professor, and he was teaching, and he was lecturing. And then the words that came out from his mouth was so intellectual. You can't really understand 70% of what he's saying, but it sounded good. Right? Yeah, because he's an old English professor. He was a law professor. And also, there was this discussion group that was like having a lot of discussions, regarding the law and the paper chase. And that also got me going. I fell in love with the letter of the law. Yeah. On, both internally and externally, outwardly and inwardly, I just fall in love with it. And now, yes, I mustered up the courage in answering your question, Tracy, to ask my dear dad, so father, can I please study law? And I found this university, which is called University of London in UK. And please, can I do this law degree? And my dad looked at me. He said this, you are a woman. And what are you doing wanting to study law? He actually had in mind that my elder brother and elder sister and maybe the first three he can financially support. But then little me, the fifth one, he's like, maybe you could just find a good man and get married, And this is pre the postmodern time. And my dad is a traditional Chinese. Although he was, I would say, forward thinking. He put us in Methodist girls' school. All my sisters were schooled at Methodist girls' school, which is a mission school set up by the Methodist Christians. And we learn English. So we all speak English at home among ourselves. And we speak the dialect Hokkien with our parents. So as not to deviate, I'll come back to your question. So when I asked him, and then he was like, in those times when the Asian listeners will appreciate this, when you ask your dad something or your mom something and they don't answer you don't pursue it anymore. You don't go around asking, so what's the answer? You just wait. So it's like silence. And it took a few months before he gave me a yes. I think he tested me. He asked me questions. I remember my dad as a great storyteller, and I love to listen to his stories. And he asked me a lot of questions. And then I think he must have satisfied himself that perhaps this daughter of his can do it. And he allowed me to take up this law degree from the University of London. And I must say that it was not an easy exercise, you know. It was not easy for me to study, you know, overseas and whatnot. I did some part-time work. I sustained myself. And well, that is the story. That's how I got started. And I came back to Malaysia and did the bar exams here. That's why my qualification is with the Malaysian Bar, which is the Bar Council of Malaysia. And I practiced, I started to practice here. There was a short stint of practice just for pupillage and one that, whatnot in UK. But basically, the large part of my practice is back here, home, back home in Penang, Malaysia.
So
that's
tell
how
me.
I all started.
Yeah, so tell me, because you studied in England, and I know you would have had to do more study when you went back to Malaysia.
Yes. Yes.
Can you go back if you were to go back to
sure.
England? You can still
yes.
practice there.
Yes, in fact, my practice ranges across the Commonwealth countries, which is UK, New Zealand, Australia, yeah, and Malaysia, Singapore. I can even practice in Hong Kong. Of course, with the additional qualifying professional body's consent and exams, whatever exams that I need to qualify myself professionally in that particular country. But that leads me also to my area of expertise in terms of the company that I incorporated called Heritons Wills International. We are specialized in multi-jurisdictional assets. Meaning, just to put it simply, if you have lived in more than one country, you may have left assets in more than one country. So we are talking about the expatriate community, say in Hong Kong or in Singapore. This is very common. Expatriates start off, let's say from the UK, they start off maybe at a job or a teaching position in Hong Kong. And then they go on, maybe on semi-retirement or transfer to Singapore. And then when they are ready to retire and with their nest egg, yeah, what they have saved, their savings, they may come to Kuala Lumpur or Penang or even Malacca or Ipoh, the other small towns. But the two major cities that expatriates tend to reside in on retirement from anywhere else, even from Australia, would be in Kuala Lumpur and Penang. In fact, there was an expat magazine that one day at the front of the cover, a tug of war between Kuala Lumpur and Penang. Which is best for the expatriate to retire? Of course, you and I will say Penang.
Absolutely.
We are biased. We will say definitely Penang. Definitely Penang. Yeah, paradise Penang. I can't remember who won, but then there were a lot of stories of both sides. So coming back to Heritage Skills and legacy planning. What we do is we help clients who have lived in more than one country, as I said earlier. From Hong Kong, they go to Singapore. From Singapore, they may come to Kuala Lumpur, Penang. And then they retire with what we call, Malaysia has, a Malaysia My Second Home, which is in short, Malaysia and My Second Home, MM2H. So if you were to Google MM Malaysia My Second Home, MM2H, I repeat, MM2H, you will come across an official forum or portal of the government of Malaysia, which gives you all the qualifying things that you can do to come and stay in Malaysia. And once you qualify, which is very simple qualification, yeah, who knows, Tracy, you might even retire in Penang one day.
I'll have to come and visit, that's for sure.
Sure, definitely, I'll come and visit. Yeah. So in the MM2H visa, you will get, after you pay up a bond money of Malaysia Ringgit, 150,000 only, which is kept in a fixed deposit in a bank of your choice, yeah, in your name, and with interest earning to you, okay, a 10-year visa granted by the Immigration of Malaysia. And this allows you to come and go as you please. So this is like a temporary PR, you can call it, for 10 years. And of course, there are some residents here on MM2H that have stayed here for the 2 or 3 cycle of renewal. So they could have been here in their 22nd year. So they've renewed twice and the government has allowed it. Basically, what they've done is they've taken their NAS 8 in another currency, a stronger currency especially, and brought it to Malaysia. Well, just to mention, Australia is like 3 times of Malaysian currency, yeah? So, and it expands their retirement fund by triple.
Yes.
And that would allow them to live comfortably. There was a senior banker from Australia. I don't think you'll mind me telling his story. His name is Keith. Yeah. He tells me, Kim, you know, there are some friends of mine that are here in Penang, and they have an apartment that is about 7,000 square feet. And you know what that bloke did? He had a Vespa, a motorbike transported up to his apartment and right around the apartment in his motorbike. And okay, just to mention on Keith, Keith is in fact doing his passion and living the life of his dreams. He's writing a book, more than one book. He's written like a few books, and you know, he's like fully retired, and he speaks on behalf of International Living and gives an idea about retirement in Penang. He's the consultant for Penang, or the correspondent for Penang. So, coming back to MM2H, this visa enables people like you or any Australians or any one you know, who have stayed in more than a place to retire here. And very importantly, my company helps MM2H visa holders to protect their bond monies of 150,000 with the Malaysian government under the bond. So I have done a couple of webinars online with the title, Where There's a Will, There's a Way. The essential, yes. Where there's a will, there is a way. Where there's no will, I'm sorry, it's a question mark. It's a big question mark. I wouldn't say there's no way. There is always a way in law, yeah? But it's a question mark and there are more hassle, okay? And other titles like The Essential Will for the expatriate, or the essential will for the MM2H holder. Why? Well, I would say that I have personally witnessed, very sadly, some spouses and children who has their dad or even mom, you know, passed away, you know, when they are here. And when a will is not left by that parent, yeah, it causes, in addition to the grief and bereavement, a scramble in the legal process. So what I'm trying to say is that the surviving spouse or children would have to really speed up the probate process. And I'm told that I cannot simply use legal jargon by some editor that I wrote articles for, because someone told me, the Malaysian German Society editor told me, hey, Kim, you speak your legal jargon, you use the word probate, but you know what? Lay people like us, ordinary folks like us, we don't really use this word that is in your vocabulary. So let me explain what is probate. So probate is just a court order, yeah, which is granted a court order which is granted to give license or consent to your representative to transact your legal affairs when you are no longer around or when you have passed on. So that is what probate is all about. And it is to deal with your estate when you're no longer around, or when I'm no longer around, I need to have a will so that my PR, my personal representative, which in legal term is called an executor, yeah, can transact my legal affairs. I have written a couple of articles that is available in my website, inheritancewills.com, on even how to select an executor. I give you an example, Tracy.
Yes.
When say someone who retires here as let's just say a couple, yeah, usually they're in their 70s, okay, going forward, and they are Here, while their adult children are, I've got clients where their adult children are living in New York. The
Yes.
other adult child is living in Japan with married Japanese wife. So we are talking about our children and our next of kin overseas.
Yes.
That leaves it open, as in when something happens to the parents here, it's going to be quite a hassle for your adult children or my adult children next time to drop everything and come here to transact the legal affairs. And it's not only the legal affairs of a legal system that they are used to. It is legal affairs of a foreign legal system. In fact, the courts in Fakwa Street downtown speaks only Bahasa Malaysia. So they don't converse in English because Bahasa Malaysia is our national language here in Malaysia. Of course, if they see a foreigner attend court, they will call in the aid of an interpreter. But we're talking about going through a medium to even talk, right? So, is it even for language barrier, it's already a hurdle, a first hurdle to go through. So in my webinars, I urge the expats living here in Malaysia, why not make it easy? Why not appoint someone local, like your next door neighbor that you have lived with next door for the last 12 years? That would be a better executor for you than your adult son from New York. Would you agree, Tracy? Yeah. And
Well,
of course,
I suppose, yeah, if you can trust your neighbour.
exactly. You have to trust. And also, the other disadvantage is a lot of expatriates in their own community are very transient. They themselves, their neighbors and friends, they're also very transient. That means they're here for a time. Some of them are here on talent visa. Then after 5 years, they finish. In Kuala Lumpur, there are a lot of expatriates in the oil and gas industry that has been, that contract has been terminated and they are back home. You know, at one time when the oil and gas took a plunge, you know, they are called home. So that means your expatriate friends and neighbors and colleagues here, let's just say international school teachers, colleagues, they are very transient also. So part of Heritage Wills services is to provide executor services. So executor services would mean that we will be professionals who will help you to handle your estate when you're no longer around to do so. Of course, we are remunerated. It will be a scale and it will go according to the amount of work that we do. And it's all very fair and reasonable. And you can read up about it in our website. And well, that's just to give a little idea about what we do. Yeah, Tracy. So, have I answered your question? Because I think I ran on and on about MM2H, about.
You have. You've explained, and one of the big areas there with expats is that there's a lot of expats in Malaysia. So it is a very pertinent conversation that we're having because not only have you got the different country legal system, you have the
Yes.
different finance system, monetary system as well.
Exactly,
So,
exactly.
and then you've got the language as well on top of it. And as you said, there'd be a lot of people who are transient in and out. And I can imagine how they would prefer to stay on in older age in Malaysia, and especially if they've they've been working there for a long time, and it suits them. And of course, with international families, that's the norm now, isn't it?
Right, yes, yes,
So it's a big area that you do, and an interesting area. And I suppose one of the questions I was going to ask you is, can you have more than one will?
Excellent question, Tracy. Now, this question forms a few webinars of mine.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I was at a dinner with a couple of expatriates and locals, and I got to know this economist and businessman. He has businesses in China then. He's finished his business in China by now. His business in China, Hong Kong, and he's got assets in Singapore as well. And now he resides in Malaysia. So Malaysia is his base, and he is, his wife is a music director, and now she's a playwright and she writes plays for our Penang Pack. When you come down to Penang, Tracy, I must take you to Penang Pack. We have very good plays and shows.
Oh,
Yeah,
good. I'll take you up on
cultural, Yeah, cultural shows as well as international ones. Yeah. So this question was posed to me by this man. He is presently, he was a client, but he's presently a very close friend, he and his wife, to me and my family. And he asked me this: "So Kim, I have assets in more than one country, and now I'm retired in Penang, Malaysia, with my wife, and my children are overseas. I've got three children in about two countries." Yeah. So he is originally from Denmark. So he said, "I have a Denmark lawyer, I have a Danish lawyer, but do I need you as my lawyer as well? Do I need to make wills for my assets here? Do I need to make will to protect my MM2H bond monies?" And I said, "Hey," this was asked of me many years ago. I said, "Hey, that is a very good question. And I'm going to come back to you with an answer." Yeah. So I actually took up his question. You know, of course, I wouldn't dream of advising him over a glass of wine or two, right? At a dinner. Yes, no. Doctors and lawyers must not give advice when on social occasion. It's a bit of an endangered thing. Okay. So I went back and I did research and I asked my team, do research on this and make sure that we have the right answer for these clients. And I took it seriously, and the answer that came up was this. My team tells me, they call me Miss Koo, besides Kim. "Miss Koo, we cannot find anything in the legal books or in the law books that says that you can have more than one will, because the law of succession basically says that a will is an expression of intent. It is what I will use a legal term, ambulatory in nature, meaning that it will take effect on the death." The word ambulatory means it will take effect on the death. And when that happens, it is that one document written by the deceased that will guide his legal affairs. So both the English law, the wealth of English authorities and precedents by the English courts, as well as the Malaysian, as well as Singapore, which is actually in alignment with Malaysian law, as well as Australian law, which is in alignment with Malaysian law as well, because we're all from the UK law, from English law. There's nothing in the law books that says that you can do more than one will or you should do more than one will. But then, having been in practice for a number of years then, more than 10 in fact, or 15 or so at that time, I said to myself, hang on. If you cannot find the answer in the law book, you find the answer in practice. So I always believe in sleeping on issues, yeah, before I act. And I slept about on it and I was just debating and thinking. And I came up with this answer. Yes, you can have a will for each jurisdiction. And why would you want to do so? Reason is we are not the same as our great grandparents. In the older days, they stay in one place, they are born and raised, and they probably may pass on in the same place, other than the holidays here and there. Yeah, my great grandparents would be the same. But what are we today? We are living in a postmodern society where we travel at the drop of a hat. Of course, now we don't travel because of the pandemic, yeah, and the lockdown. We travel, and then when we feel like it, we may stay in a place for 3 months. You know, we may stay in a place for a year if we're in between jobs for some of the adventurous Aussies out there. Yeah, I think I met an Aussie guy while I was in Japan with my family for a short holiday. And he tells us that he does painting, and he says, "Oh, from here, Tokyo, I'm going to this other parts of Japan." And then we asked him, "So where else are you traveling to?" "Oh, quite a number of places for a year." So that is doing the tourist thing. But what about those people who actually uproot themselves from the place of their birth, and they live in from Australia, they live in, say, Hong Kong, and they live in Singapore, and then they come and live in Malaysia. So let's just make it simple. From Australia to Hong Kong to Singapore to Malaysia, you have four jurisdictions. You have four countries where you have passed through in life. You would have left some footprint, right? You see, you would have left some assets. You would have left some bank accounts. You would have left maybe a vehicle or two which you would have sold off. Yeah, I did a will for a European guy that left that parked his one of his very nice luxurious car all the way in France because maybe it's a nicer place to drive than in Malaysia. He left it there. He didn't bring his car over. So for those people who have got assets or left a trail of financial, I would say assets, yeah, is easier, a property or two, bank accounts and whatnot, it would be of practical importance to separate the assets of each country and let it be dealt separately by each jurisdiction or each legal system. Why? In the long run, when an MF2H person passes away in Penang or in KL, if he has assets in UK or in Australia or in Singapore, the one in the UK or the one in Australia may be the bigger estate.
Yes.
And in and where you accumulate more and you have like your matrimonial home, your whatever, your retirement pension and a lot. The Australian superannuation, I've done a lot of bills for all these. So I know about your superannuation, yeah. So all these things are left in those other countries, and you want to separate it so that when one legal system gives you any problem, it doesn't affect your Malaysian one. It doesn't affect your Singapore one. More importantly, it doesn't affect your current one. That means your last estate, the last country that you lived in. Why? Very importantly, you do not want to tie down cash flow of the current country that you are in. Because imagine if your bank account are frozen for Malaysia and your daughter in UK or in Australia or in US, I've also got American clients, dealing with that bigger estate and having headache in that area, they wouldn't be able to come and help you handle the estate here. So when you, in Malaysia, so when I say here, I mean Malaysia. So when you separate it, you give your executor ease of execution, you give your spouse, the surviving spouse, be it the wife or the husband, cash flow that is not tied down, you give your children the comfort that they don't have to wait for your big estate to be unraveled before they can see some money coming from your smaller estate. So it is a practical reason. And in fact, Tracy, I would go on to now talk about for parents of minor children below 18 years old. So the Guardianship Act says that the Infants Act, old English, Infants Act says that if anyone is below 18, they are called a minor or infant. And they cannot transact legal affairs. And what happened is the money will be tied down, frozen by the banks once they learn about the death. And it is a very tragic and sad situation if both parents were to say take the flight before pandemic and lose their life. And it's so personal, Tracy, I'll tell you a story of mine. My husband and I, a few years back, we wanted to take a holiday in Bali, almost like a second honeymoon, because it is a long time since we had a couple holiday away from our two sons. Yeah. So wanting to get away, we drove to Kuala Lumpur, to park my two sons. I think at that point in time, they are probably, my sons are about 7 to 8 years, 8 years apart, partly because I was doing a lot of fighting in court then. And I think they were like 12 and, so the other one was of tender age, so I think 10 and 3, about 7 years apart. I, being a lawyer, know how to whip up a will instantaneously, right? So I whipped up a will, I drew up a will, and I said, here, to my husband, it is fair and square, we give to each other everything. If you go first, you give to me everything. If I go first, I give to you everything. Now it's important for us to appoint someone that can step into our shoes if we happen to not come back. That means we happen to die, okay? I'm not superstitious, so I can say it. And we named my sister in Kuala Lumpur as the guardian in the will. Yeah? Okay. So we left the children there with my nephew and my sisters and all that. And then we flew to Bali. You know, Tracy, lo and behold, in Bali, while on the television one day in our hotel room, there was the Air Asia plane that crashed I think it's 356 or something, or 358, that crash in Surabaya. Yes, and it was horrendous to see, the air crash. And you know what my husband said to me? Oh, thank goodness you dropped the wheel. I said, yeah, thank goodness I dropped the wheel, and then of course our hearts were very heavy, and we said that, oh, we have to plan if you're going to travel while our minor children are away from us. We have to plan. I think it is an act of love and responsibility as parents that we need to have the foresight to plan for our family and not to be taken lightly. And I think I need not go on about this because the pandemic already says it all, right, Casey? The pandemic says it all, yes? So,
It
I mean,
does.
yeah, I mean, that is so, that is certain. It's just a question of time, right? Yeah. So just to plan for it, yeah. I mean, we are no James Bond that we can die another day, as in his movie, right?
No, not a
Right, we are
cat
no
either.
James
Don't have
Bond.
nine lives.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just to quote
Yeah.
the movie title. Yeah, so I always like to make a joke of stuff because my area of practice is a bit morbid, right? It's about death, so I need to laugh about it so that
That's fair. So tell me, we've heard some great information and advice from you in terms of law, but I know that there's another business side of you and another passion of yours. And you sort of alerted us to that early in the program. You talked about Kim Possible and your passion there of helping others out of your legal industry. Can you tell our listeners about that, what you're doing there?
Right. So it is my passion to empower, especially young women with life skills and disciplines. I believe that when women are in their early 20s, when they're busy with young motherhood, and also when they go into 30s, when they're trying to do their passions, they need another woman or a team or a coach to hold their hand. Now, I'm not a coach. That's not my calling, yeah? Yeah, so I got this calling from my God that I worship as a Christian, and I know that it makes life easier for others when we hold each other's hands like a sisterhood. And
Absolutely.
yes, yeah. So I love to engage and empower women. And I was invited to train for 1 month in USA, in the island of Maui, a couple of disciplines, and I'm also a faculty member of this institute called Haggai Institute that has been around for, like, I think coming to 30 over years or more. Yeah, our founder, Dr. John Edmund Haggai, just recently passed on, and we have been so grieved over his death because his was a life well lived. And he started Haggai Institute in 1969 when I was 1 year old. Now you know how old I am. Yeah, but I look too young to be of that age. Okay,
You're a lot younger than me.
I'm sorry.
You are a lot younger than me.
But you're still looking very good,
Oh,
Tracy.
that's very flattering.
Yeah,
Flattering everywhere.
left the Christmas festivity behind you. You always
Yes,
put me in the Christmas mood when I still have to work, you know? You always put me in the
I put the elf to
Christmas
work yesterday,
mood.
actually. I took a heap of videos here, ready for my Facebook and my social media coming into Christmas, and for the fun side of me. I'm sure that you will see those and you'll get a giggle out of those. But your aim and passion is to help younger women and empower younger women. And that's a really nice thing because, as you said, a lot of younger women may not have a role model to lean on or a relative who's a role model, and they don't know where else to go or can't afford to go elsewhere and don't know what they don't know. So the beauty of what you're doing is you're helping them, and you're doing that through speaking, aren't you? You're doing that through your Zoom meetings, Facebook Live.
There is one specific area that is actually on my heart, although it's on my mind. Now, you The audience out there may see me as a very gung-ho, very hardcore legal practitioner, legacy planner, yeah, who may be able to do it all. Yeah, I can say to you out there that I struggled with disciplines of the mind, in my younger days. And when I came across this book, Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, I was astounded by the truth in it, the absolutes in it. And I said to myself, if only I had come across this book in my 20s or 30s, Tracy, I would have saved myself a ton of tears and heartache,
Yes,
And, I could have saved myself all that, or I could have at least been empowered to do the other way, and maybe not cause my dear husband so much of oh, what is she like at the next moment? Women with our emotions, with our
yes, we have to
hormones,
change a bit, don't we?
our cycle. And there's this joke. Let me say this joke. I would say this joke not to belittle woman, but I would say this joke to just put it into essence what we are about, okay? And how the man regards us. It seems that this guy who has been married and divorced 3 times asked God, "Can you please build me a highway to the island of the Bahamas?" Yeah, okay. Because I would like to take a holiday. Yeah, and I am afraid of flying. And of course, in this pandemic, I cannot fly on the lockdown. And then, as he was talking to God, God said, "You're asking a very tough request, to build this highway. And then, is there anything else I can do for you instead of building you this highway?" And when the man heard this, he pondered and he said, "Well, I've been married and divorced 3 times, and all my 3 wives says that I don't understand them." So there was a long pause, and then God said, "How many lanes do you want on your highway? 2 lanes, 3 lanes? And how do I calculate it? Just let me know how far it should reach, and then I'll do it for you." So, women and girlfriends and sisters out there, I'm not saying that we are that, but I'm just saying that that's how some men regard their understanding of us to be an impossibility. I want to make it possible. I want to make it possible for the partners, for the boyfriends and the spouses of young women to be able to understand them and to be able to meet their needs emotionally and also to meet their needs physically, mentally, and whatnot. Of course, there are also gurus out there that says that you need to be independent. You need to stand strong and be who you are. There's a song about we are women, and or we will survive,
Oh,
and
absolutely.
and then like out goes the man and you change the lock. No. I would say, Tracy, from my observation in my profession and the women that I've come across, either the regular mother with the toddler, the mother of teens, or even the mother of adults. And from the homemaker to the professional to the very top tier management ladies, CEOs, and whatnot, I've come across quite a number of layers, okay, that women are today. And I'm so proud of you all that you are all that today. What I see sometimes is that, very sadly, I think there is a lot of emptiness inside, deep down. And not that I can feel the emptiness, but I truly believe that in stepping into my calling, I can help somewhat. I can help somewhat. One of the titles that I love to speak on is the superwoman, the do it all and be it all. And when you do it all and be it all, at the end of the day, are you happy? Are you happy? I'm speaking to my sisters, dear sisters out there. Are you happy? Because Tracy, I think in our conversation on Zoom one day, we did say that no matter our accolades and achievement, no matter all the degrees and the PhDs and the business deals, $1 billion that we have done, okay, what exactly do we want on our last few days on this earth? I would say that you and I, we both agree, and you're laughing about it, that we want our loved ones. We want our
Absolutely.
closest next
Absolutely.
of kin with us. And we want to be able to say, I don't have much regrets because I have done what I can within what has been given to me, and I want to finish strong. I would quote St. Paul that he says that I've run the race, I have finished, and I want to walk into my God's arms. You know, St. Paul said that. And as I say this to you, I got goosebumps. So the icon is quite cool. And it's like, it's a bit soapy, you know, after the heavy stuff, the heavy legal stuff. But
That's
that's
all.
what I am. That's what I am, the complicated and the simple Kim. And that's what I am. That's what I'm about. I want to help people to have that on their last days. Not only do they plan their legacy well, but they also have no or very little regrets. And they have their loved ones with them, and they have lived a life that they are proud of. They're happy to walk away from this earth and say that this dress rehearsal is over. Now I'm on to the big act, you know,
Oh,
in heaven, you know, and or whatever your beliefs, to the
that's
Buddhists or to the others, yeah, the other faith. Whatever your beliefs, you know, what else do you want? Because I think the pandemic has, do you agree, Tracy? The pandemic has
Kim,
reset.
I'm going to have to stop you, actually. I'm sorry. We're going to have to take a rain check on that conversation
Could
for
I
another
just finish
time.
one line?
We're just about run out of time. We've only got a minute left.
I'm finishing it in one line. The pandemic is causing us to relook, realign, and reset our priorities. So I will
Absolutely.
leave you with that. Thank you for having me, Tracy. I'm
Thank
so
you.
privileged to share with you and everyone out there.
Thank
And
you.
you really have a good life.
Oh, that's lovely of you. Now, for our listeners, if anyone is looking to correspond with Kim, you can find her on kimku@inheritancewills.com. And for our listeners out there, thank you so much for sharing a space with us today in the last 60 minutes. And you can find us on bbsradio.com. Tracy Tully Talks is brought to you by BBS Radio. So thank you so much and all the best today. Farewell.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.